And you might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 40. And we've been looking at reminding ourselves of God's wonderful working, in particular based on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thus implemented and made practical, profitable, and pleasing, Spirit of God's wonderful ministry to make it all happen. So, then reminding ourselves of his absolute essential being, otherwise nothing's going anywhere. So, in Isaiah chapter 40, you would remember, God is going to send John the Baptist ahead of our Lord. All flesh is as grass, verse 6, and all the goodliness there, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. So the very best of a person, the very best, is as the flower of the field. So all the good and all the bad and everything answers to God. So, and it is flesh, sliding down the light of the context, if I can. Picking up, please, go to verse 11. Well, I don't want to go that fast. I'll read it. Verse 9, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, and bringeth good tidings, good news. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule with him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. God is going to take care as our Heavenly Father. He'll take care of them in the kingdom for sure. He would have taken care of them back then, but they didn't look to God to do so. Verse 12, who? Now here's the problem, because us humans, as grass, as the flower of the field, as dust of the ground, we're at the bottom. And we try to understand the top from the bottom. That's what we try to do. So, in other words, us humans will look at each other, look at the physical things we can see, touch, taste, smell, and we look at all those things. And we then seek to understand all the other things based on what we understand in our flesh, earthly. We're grounded, ground level, as it were. Now, having said that, so, in verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Here's all the oceans, 70% of the earth of water, etc. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has meted out heaven with a span? Remember, just think of a span from your one finger over to the end of your thumb, a span 7 inches. And God put out the endless stars from our position. There is no measurement. God put the stars all like that. He measured, keep going, and weighed the mountains in scales. And the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. And think of the dust and all of that. silly thing, but think of weighing all the dust. Think of doing that. Dust is in the room, let alone dust everywhere. Dust in the air. So the sun has to pass through everything. And I'll put all that. Okay, now, thus, 13, who hath declared the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Now, who is there on earth? Remember verse 6, we are the grass of the field, the flower, flower dust, grass and flower, we're earthly. Who on earth is measuring, helping, counseling, telling God what and how to do and be anything? Who is it? That's the question. Who has taught him? Verse 14. With whom took he counsel? And he who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. No one counsels God. You don't counsel God. You don't tell God what to do. And you don't tell him how to do it. You just don't do that. You have to honor God. Spirit of God. Hang on. Now. And then just to make it a little more pointed. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and counted as small dust in the balance. Now here's all the nations, and here comes a drip from the drip from the faucet, one drip. And God said, all the nations are in that drip. All the nations are in that drip to me. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon, the great forest, is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. There's no way, in any way, you can answer and help God. Verse 16. All nations before him are as nothing. They are accounted to him less than nothing and vanity. Therefore, 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Now that God, superior, awesome. Now we're ready, with that thought in mind, back over to what we were doing in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1. Chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians, Chapter 2, I'm going to directly to verse 15. I'm going to go to 16. Chapter 2, 16. For, giving us a reason. For, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Just think, who hath given him counsel? And you have to have a healthy, enlarging, growing sense of God. That's required. And if you're saved, even if you aren't saved, forever is going to be a growing sense of God. In heaven or hell, you're going to have a sense of God. That's what you're going to have now. Picking up, please. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Think what you just did in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Who hath been his counselor? What flesh is there What flower of the field is there that tells God anything? Verse 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord? That purpose, he may instruct God. Now, who instructs God? Who's going to be his counselor? Who's going to tell him how to do whatever when his thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens? Isaiah 55. Now, so therefore, where we were, that he was the end of verse 16, but, contrast in bringing it out, but we have, as contrast to the person that's trying to tell God how to do anything, but we have the mind of Christ. Now that's what we did. On the one hand, there's no way on forever you get that. But yet the believer has the mind of Christ, the thoughts of Christ. How can that be? And you know, we went in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, where it tells Christ going to the cross. And it says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Chapter 2, verse 16, you just read, you have the mind of Christ. And you look in your mind, and having that, now what's in my little mind? Not much. So, having said that, what's in your mind? How can that be? And that's what we were looking at, because that's a statement. The believer has the thoughts, the mind of Christ. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you have eternal life. You aren't going to get it. You have done got it. You have it when you came to know the Lord as your Savior. That's what you have. There's something to do. Something happened. Now, having that. So therefore, we looked at in chapter 2, verse 9, 10, 11, etc. And we did that. I think we did that anyway. But God puts them all aboard the ship. I don't want to repeat it all. You can repeat it, though, 10 times. What we just said in the last 5 minutes or something, it'll take you the rest of your life and my life to grab hold of what we just read. You don't have enough lifetime to understand what we just read. I've measured the heavens in a span. I don't have enough forever to grab that. My little mind can only reach so far. You can only study so much. You can read 10,000 books, and you still haven't got it. That's the wonderful reality. The G-O-D is gone. As we said, it's a little word with three letters, even smaller. I am that I am. I am who I am. One little letter, I. And you don't have enough lifetime to understand it. That's wonderful. Now, so therefore, God loads up the ship. As we go forth, we get saved, and God, in all of his fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you find God saving your soul if you're really saved. And God is going to reveal, verse 10, the wonderful things of God. God's going to make them known. God, the Holy Spirit's business is to serve. God the Holy Spirit is to serve God the Son's wonderful saving work on Calvary's cross, to make it all valid, valid and real, and to bring the deep things of God, the wonderful truths of God, that only the Spirit of God can bring forth, deep, wonderful truths simple one, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I read it. I said it. I've said it many, 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 many times. That's the hardest thing. Believers don't really get that. It doesn't mean they aren't saved. They just can't grab that God who spans the universe dwells, finds their home in you, in your body, heart. Isn't it? We'd act differently. We'd change. Oh, but we don't get it.
We don't get it.
No, we don't get it. Now, as we should. Now, so therefore, and for what man knoweth, verse 11, man knoweth man, humans understand humans, very good. And so, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God knows, the Spirit of God, God knows, God the Father knows God the Son, God the Spirit of God knows God the Father and God the Son, God knows God. Humans know humans. And thus, verse 12, for we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Back up to verse 9, verse 10, the deep things of God, even the wonderful truths of God. To know them. Let this mind be in you. It is in you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God brought in the life of God, the love of God, and the mind of God. Where is the mind of God? In Christ. In you. God in you. The hope of glory. Now, sliding over if I can. Freely given us to God. Which things? How are we going to? Well, we just said that. Which things? Also, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so, therefore, in order to understand and enjoy and exercise the wonderful truths, we have to understand the spiritual truths. And we use the illustration, you already know it. AM, FM, we're all born with AM radio frequency, but we don't have FM. We're capable of having FM because you're designed to have FM. So the FM is there. You just have to put the power to it. You have to get the power to it, the FM. God puts in the human heart a spirit, body, soul, spirit. The spirit, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. He's spirit, not flesh. So, if I'm going to enjoy God, I have to enjoy him spiritually. Spiritually, I got to have to enjoy him. I can't enjoy him earthly. Hang on, we're going to get it. Earthly. Now, so therefore, and we're going to go look, and we have God's word, and that's why we look at God's word. And we try to do it with some measure. Try to do it. Why? Because I cannot understand God from Webster's dictionary, from the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's a wonderful, wonderful work. The Britannica, and you don't care about the other, the 1913 edition is the most accurate, if you ever needed it. Why? When they did articles back then for the Britannica, they picked the best persons in the whole world to do the article. They don't do that anymore. So the articles written about Ephesus, about each thing, they go back, you want to read them? Boy, they bring that which you should. Later they come. Think of the concordances, but the lexicons. And you read them, and here's how they all line up. And I go back here to this one, and on the Satan, and it has this little bit on Satan. And it doesn't, it left out what this one had. This one had this. The new one had reduced it down to this. And then we brought, keep going, and we reduce it to smaller because it's irrelevant. They're irrelevant things, and they aren't important to people. So they keep reducing it. So you want to get stuff, you got to go back, back, and back. And that's what you don't need them. What you need is to understand the little bit we're reading in God's Word and rest in God with a healthy, holy believing and resting and letting God get to you. Now, let me finish it. I mean, just get sidetracked. And in the process, it teaches comparing words, and that's why we look at the words and we get a message. How do I understand? How do you understand? I have to read God's Word, not the Britannica, to get what God means. And the Britannica may help me in something, but it won't help me in the Word of God. God's recipe book is what it is, and the recipe book is not to be added to or subtracted. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in Revelation 22, back in the beginning, and back at the end, don't add and don't subtract. Don't play with God's word. Don't fool with the recipes. Now, that's the warning. So therefore, and we look at God's word, and that's why we turn the pages, and that's why you learn to use your Bible, and you read, and you get subjects and understand, because God, the God who wrote, gave Genesis 1:1, is the God who gave Revelation 22:21. He gave it. God did it. So, the words that I speak unto you, John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hear them. Let them get to you. And that's what we do. And some people don't like that. Why? Because you've got to think a little. You got to think a little, and you got to understand. Let me put it further so you see it. Picking up now, having said that, verse 14, in contrast to having a heart for God, looking to God on FM, what are we going to do? Well, the natural man, having only AM, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So the natural man gets zero from God. That doesn't mean you can't read the same verses. I could bring a message on the same verses and be whatever. I could do all of that on AM. I can be a Bible teacher, a professor in a seminary, and do all the Bible and give you outlines and the whole thing on AM. I can do the whole thing on AM. And we usually like that. Why do we like it? Going back to Eve. Eve, what did you do? Eve, you took what God said to your mind. Here's God's thinking, and you took to your mind. You took to your mind what God said. And now, Eve, you're saying it to the devil. You're telling your understanding of what God said. Your understanding of the recipe you're telling. Now, why do you like that? I'm going to give you another illustration, the same thing. Moses is at Mount Sinai. God is speaking directly to the 2.5 million people or so directly, and they hear God. In Deuteronomy 5, what do they say? God, Moses, tell God to be quiet. If we keep listening to him, we'll die. And so God quieted, and they only listened to Moses. Why is that wonderful? Because us humans, Eve listened to, had her own mind about God. And the people had Moses about God. Now, we can't change God. We can't even fool with that. Who can be his counselor? Who can do anything? Nothing, no one. But Mary knows I can't change God, but it's my thought. What's wonderful about what you think? You can change it any way you want. Anytime what you think, you can change. You can't change God. You may think deeply about something, but under the right circumstances and everything, you can change it all. And you're very comfortable changing it. That's why we like Moses. We can change Moses. We can't change the God who spoke to Moses. And that's why we flesh. Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I hope what I just tried to explain to you helps you. We like it in the AM, because AM can make FM whatever it wants. AM can speak FM exactly God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, exactly as a believer could, and not be a believer. Not be a believer and say it. The natural man, we're very comfortable on our, we bring it to our level so we can think about the Bible. We can read the verses without the Spirit of God. And God says, you can't. The only way the Lord is my shepherd will become real is when God, I am your shepherd. And then that's real. Take me out of the picture. All you've got is a sentence. That's all you've got. And you can do with it whatever you wish. But when you put me in it, I am my shepherd, and he changes my life. My shepherd changes. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They just don't do it. That doesn't mean you can't do everything and sound good and write 10 books. But the reality of them is missing. And how do you know that from just a human standpoint? Going back 50 years, and whatever you want, and coming forward, going back in history, when things were quite different, church-wise, believer-wise, it was a different atmosphere, a whole different thing. People were looking to try to grow, and many comparatively more so than today. Different. So now, back then, we have whatever, and we did it. As we come forward, all of that reduces, becomes less and less and less. So as we come forward, there's less and less inclination to get, and inclination to look to God, like Samson, Moses, Hebrews 11. How did he survive? How did he ever get from being under Pharaoh at the top of the pile and having to leave and find himself at Mount Sinai and into the desert? He had to do so. What? Remember Hebrews 11. Moses endured seeing him who is invisible. He didn't have a Bible. There wasn't a Bible. There was no Bible. Moses just knew God's wonderful person. He didn't know him like he was going to know him. He just knew God in the midst of all the gods of Egypt, the pyramids, the sphinxes, and everything, in the midst of them all, and Moses said, there's God. He knew, seeing him who is invisible, he did that. Is it possible? Mm-hmm. But now he's given us his word so that we can know him, his mind. We have his word to understand the recipes, to understand what he thinks and why he thinks and what he's doing. And we have his word to read it and understand it. But to the natural man, it does not make sense. It does not make sense. It doesn't come out. And so therefore, we need to go and look to God in a most wonderful way. For God, God, we begin to know and honor you because, in the end of verse 14, of him, neither can know him because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have him. You have to have the Spirit of God. You can't know God's word apart from God. Simple. It doesn't mean you couldn't preach it. I believe it. And this is how I understand it. I know they do. But then you look at people, which I tell you, you know, all of us humans, and you look at us, and we can do, there's a religious person, there's a believer, and all of that. We can do all of that. But then you want to get sticky, and then I need to know where are the saved. And then you have to have some evidence, which we'll show in a minute if we get to it. You have to have evidence. Otherwise, you couldn't tell the difference. Basically, they mix up everything. And back to the other things, I just dumped so many things. Just think as we're coming down the road of time, from the 50s down the road, what do we do? But people aren't looking to know and get an understanding of God's word. There's no need to get an understanding. Why? Because no matter whether it's school, college, whatever you did, what do you know? We have the smartphones. We have the units. What do you call these boxes you got? The smartphones, right? The smartphone, sum it up. Smartphone. You got the smartphones. You got them. And we got everything. You know, I used to have to go to school to know things. Oh, I don't need to go to school to know anything. All I do is I don't even have to push a button anymore. I just talk to it. I'm stupid about this. Would you please give me an answer? And they say, sure. And they give me an answer and say, God bless you. Have a good day. And off you go, right? You don't need anything. And add to that, because we're trusting that. The people coming up, they're trusting that thing. They're trusting that boy, you know. And it doesn't mean, you don't have to know how to tell time. And you know people, they're telling you that. They don't know how to read a watch. What do? You read the numbers on your little thing. How do you know if it's AM and it? Well, I don't know that. You know, a nighttime, daytime. So you're going to now add to that. Artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is the big thing because it's going to be everywhere, not only in manufacturing, in decision-making. They're already working on a Bible, taking all the religions and putting them in a computer, tying them all in the master computer. AI takes it all and makes it one. They're looking for that. Everything. It'll do your housework. It'll tell you what to eat. It'll tell you how your diet is. It'll do whatever. It's all in the works and already going. You don't need God. I don't need the mind of Christ. I don't need the Bible that much. No. because it'll help me. This will tell me everything. So now, again, that's a long way around to tell you the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They just don't do it. But we do it, and we applaud, and we're glad the message, I hear the message, we sing, whatever. But where's God? It doesn't matter. We're just having fun and listening. Isn't it more fun, more pleasant to have to think? And now what we just mumbled, looking at each other, to the, your old nature and mine, that is offensive. To explain that and want my old nature to understand what I just tried to say, my old nature is not going to be happy with it. And I need to know that. So my mind is going to push that right away. That's what it's going to do. I need to know how this thing works because I need to look to God. God, you're right and I'm wrong. And you have to look to God. And when you do so, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself, and yet he himself is judged by judged of no man. So how do you fight? You can't fight it. You can't fight. A person that is saved, a person that is really saved, and the Spirit of God saves, makes it all real. You can't talk the Spirit. You can't tell the believer he's unsaved. The believer knows he's saved. That's what you have in 1 John that you're doing. The anointed, you know all things. The Spirit of God says, he gives the Spirit of God, underline John 14, it's the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of God said, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to be saved. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that hath a son hath life. You have to have it. And the Spirit of God cannot deny that. And if you're saved by the Spirit of God is going to stick that in your heart. Not because you feel it, not because anyone else likes it, or the whole world hates it. God mocks it because God is doing what he's doing. And the Spirit of God is revealing the deep things of God because you have the mind of Christ. Where did you get the mind of Christ? In the Lord Jesus Christ. God, Christ in me, brings into all of the wonderful life and thoughts of God. And thus I have his word to understand and to grow and to know. I have his word to have all of this happen in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And I know it. And I know. So I don't, people though, I say I don't know. I don't know. But God knows. And God said, and God confirms to the heart, he that hath a son. Go over to 1 John. Let me get sidetracked on all this. 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5. And you will note. 1 John chapter 5. May I go directly in the light of it all? In verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, and we do, the weather forecast, the newspaper, the television, everything, a letter, a sign on the sign, a sign, stop sign, a restaurant sign, a restaurant menu. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness what? In himself. The Spirit of God will stamp it. The Spirit of God says you're saved. I don't say, I didn't think it. I'm reading it, believing and resting. And God is going to go, if I'm saved, God is going to confirm and keep going so you see it, you know it. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. But he that receiveth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given us to us eternal life. This life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what he said. God's word. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you have God's word. The Spirit of God takes God's word to help us. So when I read God's word, God is going to tell us what he thinks. And we just read. Now, what do I know about being saved? The Spirit of God says, I'm going to bear witness. And you believe what God, you read the word. You have the witness in your head. And the Spirit of God will confirm it. That's what he's confirming. The Spirit of God does. Not on AM, on FM. And God confirms it. So, and then verse 15, chapter 2. He that is spiritual. So the believing heart is believing. The believing heart is believing and enjoying the benefit. God said it. God said it, and he did it. He said it in a most wonderful way, and he gives us that wonderful truth. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, just to build out a little bit, perhaps, over, if I can, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 4, and you'll remember, God, the reason people don't see. God meant, now put this together again. Here's Romans chapter 1. 18, 19, 20, 21. The God makes himself known to every human being that is born on planet Earth so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. They have no excuse. No one. You say the person in the middle of the desert, they have no excuse. Because God met them out there when they were little, and all they had to do is keep believing in God, and and you got to keep reading, believing, and you're going to get saved. Now, in God's wonderful grace. So, here we are out there, and they have a wonderful knowledge of God. Why don't, and some people just grow, and as they get older a little bit, they just believe. Little kids believe, and they keep believing. I said that recently to someone. I said, you're doing the right thing. I wished I was young, little. I wish I could have known what you know. I had nothing in the Methodist Church. My world was godless. Full of religion up to their eyeballs. Roman Catholics were zealous. The whole thing was everything. I lived in the middle of it. Lived in the middle of it. Boy, do I wish you had, or you do, to hear God's word at a young age. Wow. Boy, could you grow. Could you grow. But I didn't. I wish I had it. God just had to get me all the way through, all by my lonesome. That's what I had to do. Wouldn't have been nice if I had some encouragement to get there. Wow. Now, so, here we are. So therefore, what do we know? Verse 3. But if I go chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why, what happened to the little kid that knew God? He picked up the mood and movement of the world around him, and he didn't believe. He didn't believe. The minute you stopped believing, the devil came in and grabbed your mind, and being spiritually blind because you aren't believing, the Spirit of God keeps you in darkness, and you don't believe. And you don't, well, I haven't believed yet. I haven't got that far yet. See. Now, having said that, over to chapter 3, the illustration backing that. Chapter 3, verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, which is the law. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil. Jews are unsaved today for the same reason they were unsaved yesterday. They don't believe. Why don't other people? They don't believe. Gentiles don't believe. You gotta believe. Otherwise, you're the natural man having the Bible. The Jews have the Bible. They have the Torah. You go to the synagogue. We read the readings. We have the prayers. But we don't believe. We don't believe. Ah. And as long as you don't believe, you'll never see spiritually. I believe. And then let's pin them down. We've had to pin people down. Do you believe? And I see them in front of me now when we talk to them. What? Tell me what you believe about Romans 6 and 11. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Tell me how that works in your life. I don't know. And then the next thing, well, I don't know. Well, then none of it means anything to you. And we're trying to run with this, and you don't even believe it. You don't even understand it. I asked you what it means to you. How does it change your life? Well, it doesn't change my life. Well, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. And the devil can go and blind the mind. Keep reading. In verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In other words, when you believe, look to God, the veil, your eyes will be opened, and you can see. It's one thing to talk about, again, the color chart, and we can't see it, so we never saw it. We talk about the color chart and all that we talk about in the colors as blind people, if you can imagine that. And we're talking about them, and we say them, and we all agree to this and disagree with that, and we do it. But when our eyes are open, and we see, boy, does that change everything. When the color chart's big in front of me, boy, that changes how I talk about the color chart. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, no veil, we can see with the eyes. Now with open face, beholding as in a glass, we see as we need to see, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord's, God's wonderful ministry, is to do just that, to change us, to help us. That's the Spirit of God's ministry. Let these words be in you, which are in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. Think, God in you has all this. The Spirit of truth, it's his ministry to take all of the truth. Jesus Christ is the true way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring to me all that God has by way of Calvary's cross, his resurrection, and his indwelling when I received him as my Savior. And so God is going to go and do a wonderful thing in my little heart. So as I look to God, God's going to go, and I see, when I read the word, I'm reading it with a view to believing it. I'm not going to argue with it. It says, with the open face, I believe, I understand, beholding is in a glass, I'm looking at the God's word. And as I look at God's word and let God's word be what it is, I believe. And the Spirit of God's going to help me. I'm not going to understand many, many things, but I have to go. I can't understand thermodynamics till I've got addition. I have to start somewhere. And then, no offense, just I'd be glad. Be glad you learn anything. That's what I do. And you go, and you grow. We keep growing and knowing. Plus, I just want to grow and know. I want to understand. That's why God gives us his word in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And so we can trust God, so we aren't blinded. And remember now, if you can, Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, speaking to the crowd, to the people, and you'll remember it. I think it's too much to remember, and there's no time. There's no time. I'll give you a shorter thing. Over to the Gospel of John chapter 2 in closing. John. Gospel of John chapter 2. And you will note our Lord and verse 23. Chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit. He did not believe. He did not commit himself. Believe, commit. Back up to believe in verse 23. Jesus did not commit, believe him, believe, commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men and needeth not that any should testify of man. For he knew what was in man. The Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we believe. And the Lord Jesus said, no, you don't. I know you don't. You're believing for the wrong reasons. Your understanding is wrong. You're trying to go in AM and not FM. And the Lord said, I know the difference between believers and real believers. And the devil does himself. The demons know. Paul, I know, and Peter, I know, and the Lord, I know, said the demon in Acts, but I never knew you. And you say you're extorting people. You're extorting the demon. You're driving out demons. No, you're not. But we're doing it. No, you're not. That's a demon to the demons. But these guys think they're something, and they're nothing. And nothing. That demons know the difference. And I gotta quit. I hope you got a little bit. Understand. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to understand so that we don't spin our wheels in the dust. We want to be able to get it. So God got to help us. Thank you.